Got a friend in BC, know some winders kissing New York, and I wanna buy a motorcycle and cut up to some farm somewhere in this Cushit County where the hills.
Hello there, this is Tales of a First Round Nothing, featuring Terry Ryan, who is the author of the book by the very same name, Tales of a First Round Nothing, because Terry Ryan was drafted 8th overall in 1995 by the Montreal Canadiens, went on to play 8 games in the NHL, but has played at pretty much all other professional levels in North America and has many, many stories to tell. I'm Victoria Matiash, third line power forward with the Women's Pumas of the True North Beer League here in Toronto, 4-year veteran.
Wow, I didn't know this.
4-year veteran, 2 goals through those 4 years.
That's more than my buddy Darren Langdon had in his last few years in the NHL. There you go.
Anyway.
I'm guessing you don't do as much fighting.
Oh, in our league? No, no.
I know,
no,
I
not
know.
Quite.
Nor should there be.
Or hitting it all, actually.
Yeah, well.
We have a lot of fun, and I know you still have a lot of fun playing hockey at the level that you play at now. However, you have had your moments of maybe not having as much fun, and I know in one particular situation, a lot of it had to do with your coach at the time. So I'd like to talk about Michelle Therrien.
Yeah, sure.
Well, go ahead. Let her rip.
Well, I guess what would be Michelle Therrien, let me describe him. At least at the time, I played for him from 97 to 99. Good numbers under him, too, but Mike was kind of an authoritative kind of, it almost reminded me of a dictator. This all sounds bad, but it was bad at the time for me.
And this is after you were drafted by the Canadiens and you were playing for?
I guess I'm playing for the Fredericton Canadiens. I guess I'd say something about both of us, okay? So I guess in some ways I can be stubborn. I take a lot of pride in myself and my teammates. And, you know, I like to have a good time, but, you know, I'm different. I mean, I've been known to have different color mohawks and things like that. So my appearance, I guess. And I think, you know, so sometimes that gets misunderstood for a kind of wild child kind of thing, which, you know, I love being different.
But being different when you're a young hockey prospect can often give off misconceptions.
It can shoot you in the foot, yeah. And you know, I think in the vast majority of cases, even if it's misunderstood, it's still can be talked about. But, you know, I was coming into a situation in Montreal. And again, the reason I said that is because, you know, to my knowledge, I've never had a boss or a coach that really didn't get along with me or I don't think would give me a nice little recommendation. I really don't. I think most of them, and because I'm the kind of guy, I didn't get along with all of them, but I might go, you know, Rick Carrier, for example, in Red Deer, coach us with the Rebels. I might go and say, Rick, I don't really necessarily agree with this. Why are you blank? Why are you making us have curfew at 8 o'clock tonight? Come on, even though we're kids, let us go to the late movie. You know, Rick, how about this? Lethbridge are coming into town. Why don't we take the young guys that are in town, just called up, take them out of the hotel they're going. We'll have a meal with them. Things like that.
And you would at least be heard.
Yes. So I'd always be a guy talking to the coach. You might find that, ego. Egotistical or presumptuous as a leader in the room, but that's I liked doing that and taking control. And usually there's a few people on a team that are so anyway, without getting too far into that, that's my personality. And I like to walk the fine line as well. You know, if Metallica are in town, I'm going to take the boys to the concert. We're probably going to have a few beers, you know. I'd always check it out with the coach. I wasn't a problem guy. But, you know, I got a tattoo on the side of my head and stuff like that. It's, you know, so I'm different. But everybody's different. And Michelle Therrien is a very stubborn guy. He was a bit of, like I said, he was a
bit of a dictator. Continue.
He was a bit of a dictator. And Mike, I call him Mike. You know, my first introduction, he said, you know, he called me and he said, you know, you're a decent player and all that. You know, I look forward to playing with you or coaching you. And then he said, you know, I can send you down at any time. And he said, Scott King and J.F. Houle, they're in the minors. No, Scott King's father, Dave, was the assistant coach in Montreal. J.F. Houle's father, Rajan, was the coach or is the GM in Montreal. We're playing in Fredericton, their minor league team. So he says, you know, I sent them to the East Coast League and I can do the same to you, you punk. And that's what he said to me, and I'm a kid.
And this is your first introduction.
Yeah, and I don't like I don't like that. I don't respond well. Even though I might seem like a tough character, and I don't like it, I don't respond to it, and I would want to go home. Like, I need to be accepted by my teammates, and then I'll go to the war for you.
And how old are you at this point?
I was just turned 20.
Okay.
So it was my first year in the AHL. And anyway, different things. Once, you know, a few things. I'll list a couple of things that aren't in the book just to give you a perspective, okay? The guy smoked on the bus, so that is in the book, but whatever, you know. So that's the kind of guy he was at the time. Once he called me in for a meeting, and he just lit a cigarette and smoked it and told me to get the fuck out of his office.
He didn't say anything other than that?
Nothing. No. So there was, obviously, there was a message being sent. I didn't really know what it was.
How long were you in there for?
Or the time it took him to finish his smoke.
Yeah. So he smokes in front of you, doesn't say a word. Sends you out of his...
Sat me about 15 feet away from behind his
desk.
And so, you know, there was obviously a thing that he wanted mental dominance, okay? So now this is where a lot of people at the time, you know, a lot of people were fine with it. A lot of people just took it one ear and out the other. But a few of us, you know, were really... I was hurt by it. Now, I tried to adapt to this. And so, to give you perspective, so my first year in the American League under him, I had 21 goals, which is great, you know, but I had 34 fights. And a lot of the times I knew if I didn't fight, I wasn't going to get out there. And again, and did he always come down and give me the tap? No. And I'm the kind of feisty player. I would have gotten 10 to 15 anyway, especially in that era.
Giving you the tap, meaning you're going to go out there and punch
exactly,
the snot out of somebody.
Yeah. So, but you just, in my mind, he made it very clear a few times that, you know, if I didn't, I probably wouldn't play as much. It wasn't just me. And, that was his makeup. And sometimes I don't think he necessarily didn't like me. He might have felt a bit insecure because, you know, I'm stubborn. And if I didn't like something, I'd tell him. I'd straight up, you know, oh, really, Mike? How about this? You can go fuck yourself. And after you're done fucking yourself, fuck yourself again, asshole. And I'm serious. I just gave up. When I cut off, I mentally checked out. I'd call my parents every day and go, I'm coming home. Mom was worried. I had to go see a psychiatrist, everything. I flew home. And I mean, it mentally fucked me up. So Matt Higgins, I know it did to him too. He's a first round pick the year after me. Look, where'd Matt Higgins go? Germany 2 years later. It was hell for a lot of us. Boyd Olson, I can name you guys. They probably don't want to talk either. But the other side of it, I think, I know that Michelle didn't realize he was being as hard on us as we...
Sure?
I know he did. Like,
okay.
Because he thought it was, you know, if you see the movie Whiplash, go out and see that. And that's he didn't hit you. You know, it's a little over the top Whiplash if you haven't seen it quite. It's about a conductor and the way he handles his band. And
this is a recent Oscar nominee.
Yeah, sure, right. To me, it was movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nominated. But anyway, so that was, it reminded me a lot. I almost came to tears watching it. Really reminded me of my relationship with Michelle. And again, like sometimes he'd go, hey, what's going on? And we'd get back and, hey, Terry, you want to come have a beer? And I'd go in there and have a beer with him. And he'd act like everything was fine. And I'd go 2 weeks and play normally. And then you'd just go to the rink one day and you didn't get a shift the whole game. And he sent me out there to fight Jeff Ware with 1 minute left. And I'd be like, what's going on? I was first star last game. Well, yeah, you think you this, you're fucking nothing. And
really?
That was Mike Therrien. Now, I'm sure that he grew up in some level sense, or he wouldn't be the coach of the Montreal Canadiens. And all the time, because I do want to point out that I was also, again, I was stubborn. If he did think I was a wild child or anything like, and I'm certainly not innocent of everything. I mean, there was nights I closed down the bar dancing on it, but we didn't have a game the next day or anything. You know, I pretty much followed the rules. If we did, you know, everybody has beers or likes to go to concerts and everything, but I was the guy that had fun at those things. So, you know, I'd be up singing with the band. I was always the center of attention. And every other team I played on, was a good thing.
But you think that he suspects there's more. There's maybe drugs.
I don't know if he did. At times, I'm sure at times back then, I'm sure he, you know, specifically drugs, maybe. And, you know, again, when I say drugs, it could have been anything. I think he just thought I was partying in general, whatever it might have been. And again, you know, because I didn't really... I know what it takes to be a pro hockey player, and I appreciate you giving me that confidence and respect. So if I am out and the tragically hip come to town, or Sam Roberts say, you know, and I get up and sang a song with him, there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. If we got no game for 5 days, who gives a shit? You know, if I'm drunk, you know.
But he had an issue.
And I'll always be there with people. And, you know, I don't want to keep talking about that specific. But he, to me, even if, And I think it was an easy out for him because he didn't like the fact that I was stubborn and he didn't like me answering him back. And I think he felt a bit threatened because at the time, I was meant more to the Montreal Canadiens than Michel Therrien.
I'm the first round pick.
Mm-hmm. So I know he felt threatened by that. And Jose Theodore and a few more of us that were there. And it wasn't a French-English thing, I don't think. I don't think it helped that I was from Newfoundland. But Michel wasn't just generally bad to the other people, to the English and great to the French.
Two questions. If you could go back in time, would you have handled him differently?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would have. And I'm not saying I was at as much at fault because I was a kid and I really didn't know the difference.
I agree with you.
But he was a 30-odd. You know, he was a rookie coach and he hadn't played as much hockey as, you know, I think he was still learning the game. So he did play, though. But, yeah, you know, I would have handled it differently, but I just, I still stick up for what I believe in. And all my career, I still play senior. I know that I must have been half justified because I still haven't and talked to anybody I've had as coach. I'm confident. I don't know who you're going to call. I've had 500 of them. But if you call anybody, I'm confident that they're going to say I'm a good leader, I'm a good teammate, I'm a good character, and I was good in the room. Except Michel Therrien will say the opposite. Now, why? I don't know.
Question number two. Have you ever spoken with him since?
No, but ironically, about 2 months ago, I did an episode of Hometown Hockey with Ron McLean, and the first time I saw him even address my name in years, and he spoke of it, and he said, you know, Terry was immature, maybe I treated him a little bit over the top, and I thought he was as human as he could have been, and it took a lot, but I don't hold a grudge. If the Canadians win, all good. There's a lot of good people surrounding that organization. They let me use their jersey on the front of the on the book for nothing. I mean, come on. That's a Montreal Canadiens jersey. A lot of them are very proud that I came through there. A lot of them stay in touch. Steve Schutt was the assistant coach, always gives me calls to play alumni games and all those things. So I don't sit here in any way. A lot of people. My buddy BJ Young, like I said, is 6 feet under. Things could be a lot worse. I played for the Habs, man. I'm proud of it. But yes, I know that if Michel Therrien wasn't my coach, things would have turned out different. What would that mean? I don't know. It definitely would have meant more games. Could have meant 50. Maybe I wasn't a good enough skater. Maybe I wasn't good enough. But I just don't think I ever really got that chance to fail.
But it is unfortunate that you were never given the
chance.
That's it.
Yeah, and I thought at the time he was a big asshole and I walked out. You know, I didn't. I was the one that didn't go back to camp. So I can't sit here and throw daggers when I didn't do it. But to me, I was a kid and Michel should have known better.
All right. This is Tales of a First Round Nothing. I cannot recommend this book enough. It is fantastic. It is honest. It is candid. It is stories like this, plus a lot more. And of course, written by Terry Ryan sitting across from me. Thanks for listening.